translation. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Purport. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan are Vaishnavas. They are all auspicious because somehow or other they always chant the holy name of Krishna, even though some of them do not strictly follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. On the whole, they are devotees of Krishna and chant his name directly or indirectly, purposely or without purpose. Even when they pass on the street, they are fortunate enough to exchange greetings by saying the name of Radha or Krishna. Thus, directly or indirectly, they are auspicious. The present city of Vrindavan has been established by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas since the six Goswamis went there and directed the construction of their different temples. Of all the temples in Vrindavan, 90% belong to the Gaudiya Vaishnav sect, the followers of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And seven temples are very famous. The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not know anything but the worship of Radha and Krishna. In recent years, some unscrupulous so-called priests, known as caste Goswamis, have introduced the worship of demigods privately. But no genuine and rigid Vaishnavas participate in this. Those who are serious about the Vaishnav method of devotional activities do not take part in such worship of demigods. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas never differentiate between Radha, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. They say that since Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha, Krishna, he is not different from Radha and Krishna. But some misled people try to prove that they are greatly elevated by saying that they like to chant the holy name of Lord Gaura instead of the names of Radha and Krishna. They purposely differentiate between Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. According to them, the system of Nadia Nagari, which they have recently invented in their fertile brains, is the worship of Gaura, Lord Chaitanya, but they do not like to worship Radha and Krishna. They put forward the argument that since Lord Chaitanya himself appeared as Radha and Krishna combined, there is no necessity of worshipping Radha and Krishna. Such differentiation by so-called devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered disruptive by pure devotees. Anyone who differentiates between Radha Krishna and Gauranga is to be considered a plaything in the hands of Maya. There are others who are against the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking him mundane. But any sect that differentiates between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna, either by worshipping Radha Krishna as distinct from Lord Chaitanya, or by worshipping Lord Chaitanya but not Radha Krishna, is in the group of Prakrita Sahajyas. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, predicts in verses 225 and 226 that in the future, those who manufacture imaginary methods of worship will gradually give up the worship of Radha Krishna, and although they will call themselves devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they will also give up the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fall down into material activities. For the real worshippers of Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate goal of life is to worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Se sabapainu ami brindavani aya, se sabalabhya e prabhura kripaya. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Om Agyanata Marandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Pancha Tatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Surupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I feel very inadequate to speak on this verse, especially to speak on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a topic which is mainly about Radha Krishna pastimes, which is very elevated. And there's a qualification to speak on such topics. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was writing this book, he had this dilemma. Should I speak or should I not? And he decided to speak because no one would know if he didn't speak. And he wrote it in such a way that the fools would not understand, but the devotees would understand. He compares the devotees to cuckoo birds. They're very, when they take the soft leaves of the mango tree, it's very sweet. And the non-devotees he compared to camels. Camels, they simply chew thorns and they're simply drinking their own blood. So they have no taste for the sweet topics of Radha Krishna Leela. So with your permission, I'll try and say something. Especially with the permission of Tattvabhut Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you. Govardhandasi. Hare Krishna. Several weeks ago, Shruti Dharma Prabhu was giving class. And the class was about, the verse was about Radha Krishna. And at that time I was reflecting how this Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about Radha Krishna. Even though we're discussing the pastime of Lord Nityananda, still Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings the topic back to Radha Krishna. And I was even also reflecting how, as far as I can see, that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is more focused on Radha Krishna, which is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas the Chaitanya Bhagavad is more about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Now, you may disagree, I'm not sure, but from what I can see, for example, in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it's predominantly the childhood pastimes. But Chaitanya Charitamrita only gives those pastimes in synopsis and spends more time discussing the later pastimes. And those later pastimes are the pastimes of the spreading of the holy name, and in particular the mood and the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya when he was residing in Jagannath Puri. There are so many chapters. And also we can consider the pastime of Lord Chaitanya speaking with Ramananda Roy, how it develops into a discussion of Radha Krishna pastimes. So when I read the last statement of this today's purport, I got some indication as to why that might be the case, why the discussion is so much on Radha Krishna. And it's this statement: the real worshippers of Lord Chaitanya, for the real worshippers of Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate goal of life is to worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So that's a very important point. And Prabhupada discusses in the purport how the Nadia Nagaris, they have the conception that, well, I prefer Lord Chaitanya, therefore I will only worship Lord Chaitanya. I won't worship Radha Krishna. And their justification is, well, Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. Therefore, by worshipping Lord Chaitanya, I am worshipping Radha Krishna. So it seems like a good argument. But there's a fault in this argument, which Prabhupada brings up in the purport. Does anyone remember what the fault is? The fault? Yes, sir. Okay, so why are they differentiating? Because they say that Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they're not differentiating. So why are they differentiating? Your answer is correct, but why are they differentiating? What are they doing that's differentiating? It's quite simple. They have a preference because they're saying they're non-different and we prefer to worship Lord Chaitanya. So just by making that preference, they're actually differentiating. So though they say they're not, they actually are. So it's a very subtle point. And this verse is all about, this purport is all about the different types of worship that are bogus. We have this point, how Radha Krishna are seen as separate. Radha Krishna are seen as one, and Lord Chaitanya seen as an ordinary person. Three examples are given. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with the tattva of Radha Krishna, how ekat manava pi bhuvi pura deha bedam gatau tau. How Radha Krishna, they are one, but they become many. They assume two forms, Radha Krishna. And then, chaitanyakyam prakatam aduna tadvayam chaikyam aptam. How the two then become one again. So this is a lovely example of how the Lord is always expanding and merging in order to enjoy rasa. There's an explanation as to why the one became two. It said, sada aichi Radha Krishna eka e swarupa lila rasa asvaditi dhari dui rupa. Although Radha Krishna are one, they're eka e swarupa, which means they are one, in order to taste rasa, they have become many. And later on it said, se dui eka ebi chaitanya gosani rasa asvaditi donhi hoila ekatani. Now those two have become one again. Why? In order to taste rasa. So in both cases, the reason is the same, in order to increase rasa. There's an interesting contradiction within the personality of Lord Krishna. That is that he is Atmaram, he's self-satisfied, and yet he performs so many pastimes with his devotees. So there's one group of people who incorrectly, Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. Yeah, there is a group of so-called devotees that they think that the reason that Lord Krishna engages in pastimes is purely for the benefit of his devotees and not for his own personal benefit. So they think, for example, that when Lord Krishna performs the rasa dance with the gopis, that he is doing it purely for the gopis' pleasure, and that because he himself is Atmaram, then he has no business in doing that. But actually, this is an incorrect statement. And the first verse of this chapter on the rasa dance, it begins, Bhagavan apitaratrih sharadutpula malakaha viksharantum manaschakri yogamayam apashraya. That when the malika flowers were the scent of the malika flowers were blowing through the breeze in the autumn night, the full moon night of the Sharad season. At that time, Krishna, although he was Bhagavan, he turned his mind to conjugal enjoyment and took shelter of his yogamaya potency. So the Charis, they point out in this verse, it's a very important verse, because it begins with the term Bhagavan api. So Bhagavan means he's full of all opulence. So if someone has everything, they have no need to do anything. Like in this world, the only reason we perform activities is because we need something. If we have no need, we do not need to perform anything. We cook because we want to eat. We work because we need money. It's out of need. We form relationships because we feel lonely. But Bhagavan means full in all opulences. Therefore, he does not need to do any of those things. He does not need to enjoy with his devotees. Therefore, he's Bhagavan api. The term used is Bhagavan api, which means although he is complete, still viksharantu manas chakri, he turned his mind to conjugal enjoyment. So the point was in this verse is that he turned his mind. It wasn't that he thought, oh, I will be merciful to the gopis. I am self-satisfied. I need to do nothing. No, he turned his mind. So this is the contradiction, that although he is self-satisfied, still he wants to enjoy with his devotees. Now, I was recently reading Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and there's a nice explanation about this what are described as opposing elements within the personality of Godhead. And the terms used are Atmaramata, which means self-satisfaction, and Pararamata, which means taking satisfaction through enjoyment with others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that they are both rasa, but of the two, Pararamata is way higher, and it culminates in the Parakya above, the conjugal pastime of Krishna with the gopis. So although he's Atmarama, he gets even more pleasure by being Pararama. It's a nice explanation. I haven't seen it written in Prabhupada's books, but it's there in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, well, Krishna first of all, Supreme Personality of Godhead, first of all, he splits himself in two as Radha Krishna in order to enjoy Leela. And then to enjoy even further, Radha Krishna then combine as Lord Chaitanya. So if one thinks that that they are separate and therefore makes a preference in worshipping Lord Chaitanya alone, then one is doomed. So going back to this topic of Radha Krishna, why did Krishnadas Kaviraj come back to this topic? It's to do with his personal dream he had. Remember, this chapter is discussing Lord Nityananda. So where's the connection? Well, the connection is this, that after getting into an argument with his brother, Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother fell down, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, he had a wonderful experience. So just an example of how one should not avoid controversy. There's one statement, Siddhanta Baliya Chitti Nakoro Alas Iha Hoiti Krishna Lagi Sudridamanas, which means if one should not be, the literal translation is, one should not be lazy in discussing Siddhanta, for it will strengthen the mind. And when Prabhupada translates it, he translates it as one should not avoid subject matters that are considered controversial, because by discussing them, one will strengthen the mind. So this, there's an example here in this chapter of how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not avoid controversy. So the pastime was that there was one very elevated Vaishnav, Miniketana Ramdas, and he's an eternal associate of Lord Balaram in Krishna Leela. So in Chaitanya Leela, he was invited to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And at that time, the pujari, his name was Gunarava Mishra, he did not have any faith in Lord Nityananda. So Miniketana Ramdas, he picked up on this and he denounced him and he compared him to Romaharshana Sutta, who disrespected Lord Balaram in Krishna Leela, who was then killed by Lord Balaram with a blade of kusha grass. At the end of the function, the argument continued. At the time, Gunarava Mishra, he was on the altar, so he didn't respond to the criticism, the bona fide criticism of him. But at the end of the function, the argument continued, and the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he got involved, and in a fight, an argument ensued between Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and his brother. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Dui Baye Katanu Samana Prakash. Although they are two brothers, they are actually one manifestation. They are Samana Prakash. Therefore, if you supposedly respect Lord Chaitanya, but you disrespect Lord Nityananda, then you will fall down. It is Arda Kukuti Nyaya, it's half-hen logic. So we can see the result of this argument, that one participant, the brother, he fell down. And the other participant, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he receives a wonderful benediction, or a wonderful boon. He receives a darshan of Lord Nityananda in a dream, and Lord Nityananda instructs him to go to Vrindavan. So we see here that just by standing up for the truth, even though it was controversial, he's pleasing Lord Nityananda, and therefore he gets the benediction, and he gets instructed, now you can go to Vrindavan. And the previous verses to this, they're all a description of his gratitude, how he took shelter of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Swarup Damodar. This was the great benediction that the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita received by being argumentative for the right reasons. Which is my excuse for coming up with the next topic, which is discussing demigod worship. Because demigod worship is, of all the different deviations which are described in this purport, I mean, to think that Lord Chaitanya is an ordinary person is quite common amongst Vaishnavas, because it is really only the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that consider Lord Chaitanya to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I once spoke to a follower of the Nimbarka Sampradaya and asked him, what do they think of Lord Chaitanya? He said, they don't have an official opinion. So as far as I'm concerned, they're not going to say that he's Radha Krishna combined. They don't have an opinion. And because Lord Chaitanya, he comes in the mood of the devotee. Chana kalau yadabhavas triyugo tasatvam. As Plan Maharaj says, you come in the fourth yuga as a covered incarnation. Therefore, you're known as triyuga. So Lord Chaitanya, he deliberately comes and hides his godliness or his position as God. We shouldn't say godliness, because godliness sounds like the attributes, like the spiritual master is godly by nature. But Lord Chaitanya is more than that, he's actually God himself. So, whenever devotees would say to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was God, what would he do? Yeah, he'd cover his ears. So that is the mood. So I was reflecting on this deviation which is discussed in this purport about how some people, they worship Lord Chaitanya distinctly, separately, and they don't worship Radha Krishna. See, Mahaprabhu, he's coming as the teacher. There's one verse, Apane Karimu Bhakta Bhava Angikari Apane Achari Bhakti Shikaimu Sabari. This is Lord Krishna's thinking. He thinks, I will come with the mood of a devotee, and by practicing devotional service, I will teach it to everyone. This is the reason that the Lord Chaitanya descends. So he's Achari means he practices. He demonstrates by his own personal example. So he takes the mood of a devotee and teaches us by doing it himself. So this is what is meant by the Acharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Acharya. In one statement, Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Namacharya, but he conferred that Namachariaship to Haridas Thakur. But in actuality, he's the Namacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's coming to... And what does he teach? He teaches the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the mantra worship of Radha Krishna. So if you imagine, if someone is a teacher, then they have certain students. One student may follow the teacher's instruction. Another student may not follow the teacher's instruction, but may glorify the teacher. So which student is the better? It's the one who's following the instruction, right? So if as is mentioned in this verse, in this purport, the Nadia Nagaris, if they decide, I will not worship Radha Krishna, I will not chant Hare Krishna, I will chant the names of Gaura, then that is foolish. How is that worship? How are you worshipping the teacher if you're not following the teacher's instructions? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made his instructions very clear that we should become Krishna conscious. And that is where he differs from Krishna. Krishna says, think of me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, think of Krishna. He's not saying, think of me. He doesn't want us to direct our worship to him. He wants us to direct our worship to Radha Krishna. So this is the difference. I mean, it's said in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatam mam prabhajante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So one may think, and this verse is used in many different ways. It's used to mean that if you surrender to the Lord's illusory energy, then you will be rewarded with suffering. If you surrender to the Lord's internal potency, you will be rewarded with Krishna Prema. It means if you worship the demigods, you will receive material benedictions. If you worship Narayana Kala Santa Bhajanti Hyana Suyava, if you're free from envy and you worship Narayana Kala, which means the portions or the avatars of Vishnu, then you will attain the spiritual world. So whatever you do, you get that reward. So one may erroneously think, well, I will worship Lord Chaitanya and go to Chaitanya's abode. But it's not that simple. You have to worship Radha Krishna to go to Lord Chaitanya's abode. The two come together. And this is indicated in one of the verses that I read before. Let's find it. Yes, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the life and soul of those Vaishnavas who do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So the implication is if you do know something other than the worship of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda won't be your life and soul. And you may think that they are your life and soul, but actually you've not even understood their mood. And also, a few verses before that, there was a discussion about how Lord Nityananda, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami saw him in the dream, it's described how Lord Nityananda was chanting Krishna, Krishna, and he was blackish in complexion. When Shivara Maharaj was here, he was discussing this point, and he said that many years ago they were thinking of installing a Nityananda deity, and they were going to make it black in complexion, because it's described in Adi Lila, he's glossy black. So then they asked the GBC, and after some research, they said, no, this is not bona fide. It should be golden in complexion. But if it's like when Krishna thinks of Radharani very intensely, his complexion changes. He becomes golden. Or if Radharani thinks of Krishna intensely, she becomes bluish in complexion. So Lord Nityananda, because he was thinking of Krishna so intensely, then his complexion became blackish. But that doesn't mean that you make the deity black. You just keep it as golden. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives 8 names for Lord Nityananda. One of them is Gaura Rakta Kalevaram. His body is reddish gold. It's interesting. Gaura Govinda Maharaj discusses this point about how different moods have different colours. That is why Lord Chaitanya is golden, because the mood, the colour, the natural complexion of Mahabhav is golden. He says, he gives an example of if you're angry, you turn red. It's just natural, the mood reflects. So the same way, and he says that the colour of Krishna, that means because he's Rasaraj, he's blackish in complexion. So whatever mood you have a corresponding complexion. So I was going to discuss, after discussing how it's good to speak on Siddhanta, even if it's controversial, there was an interesting point that's been mentioned in today's purport about how within Vrindavan some unscrupulous so-called Vaishnavas have introduced demigod worship. So it's said in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamas tais tai ritagyana prapajantena devataha. Those whose desires have been stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods. Now, it's a very fundamental principle of our philosophy. So you would think that demigod worship wouldn't be really going on in ISKCON. But actually, has historically been a problem with demigod worship. Now, I'll give you an example. About 6 years ago, I used to live in Edinburgh, and there wasn't much going on devotionally speaking. So I decided I'll do some service online. So I got in touch with a friend of mine, Rasinga Kavacha Prabhu, who was then the assistant minister for deity worship. He's now the minister for deity worship. So I used to do folio searches for him. He used to give me different words in connection with deity worship. He'd ask me to research them so he could get a better understanding of what Prabhupada would say on different aspects of deity worship. So one day I went into my inbox and he'd emailed me. He said, I'm traveling around North America and I've noticed that in a lot of ISKCON temples, they have deities of the demigods on the altar. Can you do a folio research on that? So I typed in demigod worship and see what comes up. And it was very, very conclusive, like today's statement. Let's find it. There's many examples of those who are serious about the Vaishnav method of devotional activities do not take part in such worship of demigods. There are many, many statements where the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada explains that demigod worship is forbidden by the Vaishnavs. There's one example in the Krishna book that is forbidden for Vaishnavs to worship demigods. So then I gathered together those quotes and I emailed them back and he thanked me for it. So we can see this is an example of how just by the course of time, and it's mainly due to the influence of Hindus, they come to ISKCON and they have a conception of a deity worship. And then they start to speak to the pujari and say, we want this, we want that. Now, if you're not strict and if you don't know the Siddhanta properly, or if you're weak, then you may succumb to these desires. And then that's how these subtle deviations come. Now we have Srila Prabhupada's books, they won't change. So I don't think it's going to become a problem. But if we didn't have Prabhupada's books, then who knows what ISKCON would have become by now. You would have had Durga, Ganesh, Shiva, anything on the deity, on the altar. Actually, when I was doing this research, I saw there was one interesting letter where the devotees, they received a donation of a murti. And they didn't know what this murti was, so they described it to Prabhupada. And he wrote back and he goes, that is a murti of Lord Shiva. We don't worship Lord Shiva. I suggest that you take it to an antique shop and you sell it. Interesting. Now that's not disrespectful. we have to balance this. That always, although we're forbidden from worshipping the demigods, we also must respect the demigods. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught this by example. He would enter the temple of demigods and he would offer obeisances out of respect. But respect and worship are two different things. About a year or so ago, there was a very, very successful Janmashtami we had. So Kripa Mahaprabhu, on his website, he posted an article, and it was called "Hinduization of ISKCON, What Do You Mean?" Did anyone read it? You read it, yeah. It was a while ago since I read the article, but if I remember rightly, he was kind of pointing out how there was so much participation from persons from a Hindu background, but they weren't actually Hindus. They were Hare Krishnas. They kind of philosophically they were Hare Krishnas, and they were all taking part. So, although they were Asian-bodied, we wouldn't really say that they were Hindus. So it wasn't Hinduization, although it appeared from the bodily platform that there was Hinduization. Anyway, his article, as you can imagine, had a big response. A lot of people wrote in. A lot of people were quite angry. And they gave different examples. So I decided that I was going to write in. I thought, what will Kripa Mahaprabhu say? I said, I'm going to write in. So I thought, I'll give a few examples. Now, one example I gave, I said, well, at reception at Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have a cabinet where they sell Saraswati, Lakshmi, Ganesh, Lord Shiva, and you'll find Radha Krishna there as well. Until recently, there wasn't Gaur Nitai. I pointed out we should have Gaur Nitai, and I mentioned it, and a few weeks later, they had Gaur Nitai. At the time, I went up to Scotland for Ram Navami. Well, obviously, it wasn't at that time. It would have been the year after. And it was different there. They don't have any deity, demigod, murtis. It's all the happy dolls, as Prabhupada called them, right? He gave the instruction to Dhananjaya that we should mass distribute Gaur Nitai happy dolls. So the cabinet should be mostly happy dolls. Now, about a week or so ago, Sri Radharaman Prabhu, he gave class, and in that class he mentioned that it is Nama Parad to worship the demigods. So then there wasn't time for questions, but my blood started to boil, and I was going to bring up this point. Interesting enough, when I wrote that comment, Kripa Mahaprabhu's reply was, he said they're good points, you know. I mentioned another one about Diwali. There's one letter, Prabhupada said, Diwali is not a Vaishnava festival. So I gave that as an example of Hinduization of Islam. His reply was there were good points. And he asked me, what would you do about Diwali? Which I didn't reply to, but I would keep Diwali as it is because people come in for the wrong reason, but then they get to hear Hare Krishna and they get to see Radha Gokulananda. So it's a great preaching opportunity. But anyway, so I was reflecting on what Sri Radharaman Prabhu was saying, how it's Nama Parad. Now, if many people come to an ISKCON temple, you know, they're not going to think, they're just going to assume that whatever we sell is because we believe in that, right? They're not going to think, well, we sell it, but we don't believe in it. And there's nothing there to say that it's Nama Parad to worship Ganesh, for example. So someone theoretically could come and take up Japamala, find out about Hare Krishna, purchase a Ganesh deity and go back and worship Ganesh and chant Hare Krishna. Now, according to Radharaman Prabhu, who was quoting Jiva Goswami, then this is Nama Parad. So we have to be careful. You know, we shouldn't sell. Or if we do sell, we should have a little label saying, this is not recommended by Hare Krishnas. If you want Krishna Prema, we should have a shelf for Gaur Nitai, which are strongly recommended by Prabhupada. Then Radha Krishna, well, if you're qualified, Sridharam Lakshman Hanuman, if you want as well, like this. That's some considerations. And I'll just finish with one other example, which I wasn't sure if I would say or not, but then I discussed it with another Vaishnav who said, yeah, you should say this, so I will anyway. It's not something that I've personally researched or confirmed, but it came up on one alternative website that a while ago, there was one temple president, he brought in I believe it was a Durga deity. I think it was for Durga Puja. And he brought it into the ISKCON temple and Durga was worshipped. And someone videoed that and then they posted it on the internet, kind of criticizing this activity, explaining how Prabhupada would never approve of this. And I agreed with that. I mean, I didn't read what he wrote. I don't know the background. There may be other circumstances. But what I found disturbing was that this devotee that did that, they were then banned from the temple for 3 years. And I'm like, ooh, it's kind of controversial. Pardon? The one that posted it on the internet. I think he probably, I don't know the story, but he probably didn't like this temple president and thought he'd get his own back and advertised it. Now it was kind of, anyway, you can think what you like, and there may be circumstances that I don't know about, but for me, I tend to go with, if you speak what Prabhupada says, then that's fair. And if someone doesn't like it, well, that's their problem. It's not really your problem. That's how I look at it. Anyway, we stop there on that topic. Someone's got a question. Hare Krishna.